Good afternoon, everyone. This is Mondo Homunculero, deep in the heart of Casa de Mondo Zasquia. Thank you for viewing in, and if you're listening on Anchor, thank you for that as well. You'll be seeing this on Anchor as well. This is a belated podcast. I haven't done one in quite a while, so hopefully I can fill in the gaps in the next few weeks or days, whatever that may be. Today we're going to talk about a couple of different things, one national, one local. First of all, why people like Donald Trump. I did a fair amount of research on this, and what I found is, well, a lot of people thought that the animus that people were feeling, in other words, the opposition, the dislike people were feeling for Democrats and for mainstream Republicans, a lot of that was coming from being disgruntled over policies that had been enacted. Now, a lot of people thought it was poor people, you know, because there's a lot more poor whites than there are poor people of color. A lot of poor whites. And, of course, they were having problems economically speaking. They weren't able to get good, skilled jobs to make the type of disposable income, well, to have disposable income, to pay their bills, to live in a nice place, those types of things. So it was thought that probably a lot of Trump's voters were going to come from that demographic. And in actuality, it did not. In actuality, in the 2020 presidential election, those votes went to Joe Biden primarily. Now, if you look at a lot of these videos, there's a lot of videos out there where different interviewers are speaking to Trump supporters. Now, I don't necessarily go with those because those are primarily anecdotal. We do know that 70%, roughly, of Republicans do approve of Donald Trump, which is, you know, kind of a typical Republican attitude or feeling. They just go Republican no matter what. I mean, it could be Romney, and they would go for him. It could even be Mike Pence upcoming. They'd go for him. A lot of those voters, though, that went for Trump both elections were disgruntled voters from the Democratic Party. Now, most of those, it appears on these videos. Now, these are anecdotal. I don't think there's necessarily a demographic to support it, even though there were a lot of white women suburban voters that in 2016 went for Trump. Not so much in 2020. And I saw a lot of these women on camera. Now, a lot of these women were not younger women. They were middle-aged and older women. Some of the ones that were interviewed were former Democrats. I kind of wonder what kind of Democrat they were. They're kind of an old centrist mainstream Democrat who were blaming Democrats for not getting anything done. Now, the caveat there is, how are you, when you're a minority party, going to get anything done? One. Two, when you are a slim majority party with a minority in the Senate, a majority in the House, and a Republican president, how are you going to get anything done? No, you're not going to get anything done. So to blame Democrats for that is bullshit. Now, I'm not a loyal Democrat. No, never have been, and despise the GOP, have always despised the GOP. They have never been, in my lifetime, 69 years old, on the side of the people. I'm not talking about special interest groups. I'm not talking about a white, suburban, older women voters. No, I'm not talking about those folks. I'm talking about the people who need the vast majority of resources that the government can generate. And yes, the government generates a lot of resources. Reagan came along and fucked up the economy for good. Yeah, as long as the BS that people bought into from Ronald Reagan continues, things are going to be messed up. You know, a trickle-down economics. The only thing that was trickling was the bullshit out of the corners of his mouth that the old geezer threw out at us. Now, people talk about Biden, okay? I'm not a big Biden fan. He's done more, though, in the time he's been in office than Trump did in 4 years. What did Trump do in 4 years? Okay, so he passed a big tax cut, which helped the minority of people. It helped people who were rich. It didn't help people who were middle class and poor. which is the majority of Americans. He didn't do much to help the majority of Americans. Okay, so he put his rubber stamp on the crime bill, which is helpful. He didn't have anything to do with generating that crime bill. It was a bipartisan bill. So what did Trump really do? He guzzled up to that piece of shit Putin, okay, and that created a lot of problems, including the obstruction of problems. And as it turns out, the whole Russia gate thing, not so much a hoax. Not really a hoax, folks. A lot of that stuff, there was no collusion. That's true. That's corroborated. However, the problem was that there was cooperation and that the Russians just went ahead and did shit. And then that big cheese ball, I call him the orange puss bag, gets in front of the people and goes, Russia, if you're listening, talking about the 33,000 Hillary Clinton emails. You know, and here's the guy that had repeatedly obstructed justice while he was in office. Here's a guy that shorted the Ukrainians. Now, don't get me wrong. This whole Ukraine-Russia war thing, there's two sides to it. The big side is on the side of the Ukrainians. They want their own country. They want their national identity. They want to be recognized as part of Europe. The Russians just want to annex the whole thing and call it part of Russia because they say, well, it was part of the Soviet Union for 70 years, so it needs to be part of Russia. Well, I think I kind of have to side with the Ukrainians. However, I never side with war. Anyway, Trump was responsible for Ukraine not getting all the weaponry that they needed to begin with. Now, if he would have given them the weaponry that Biden's been giving them, the Russian invasion might not have happened. Or it might have been just a little push and then a give up. Okay? Might have been. We don't know. That's speculation. Apologize for that. So what did Trump really do? Well, he kept telling people that he alone could fix everything. Well, see, that's the appeal. I see this in a lot of people on both sides of the equation. That one person, one man, one leader, one president, one woman, one president can come along and fix everything. Not true. They could maybe fix 30 or 40% of things, but they're not going to fix the majority of things without a majority, a big majority in the House of Representatives and a 60 senator majority in the Senate. Without that, it's all a fail. Now, because that shitball, talk about it, I call him the turd doll, okay, T-U-R-D-D-U-L-L, turd doll. McConnell has obstructed progress for the American people for as long as he's had a powerful say-so in the Senate. And he needs to go. Maybe we'll get lucky and one morning he won't wake up. Yeah, maybe we'll get lucky. That bastard needs to go. And so do these other conservative knuckleheads. There's a whole bunch of them. Now, just because a couple of Republicans are helping out on the January 6th committee, just because of that, that doesn't redeem them. No, they still voted for Trump shit most of the time. No. And Trump's policies really haven't helped all that much. Maybe one or two, but not that much. Certainly hasn't helped poor people. Certainly hasn't really helped the middle class. So a lot of these idiots that we see at these cookouts, I call them cookouts because really Trump doesn't really say anything. He's been successful in perpetrating his lies, though. He's successful with the big lie that the election was stolen. He set that up way before the election ever happened. He told us that the Democrats would probably steal the election, which they did not. He got voted out. And yes, it was the biggest turnout ever. And you could look at the voter roll statistics from the census that came out, and you could see the results were more people turned out, 66.8% of the people of the electorate turned out and voted in the election. Pretty cool, huh? Yeah, it was pretty cool. And it was poor people, people at the poverty or near the poverty or below the poverty line were a big percentage of people that voted for Biden. Now, has he done them good? Yeah, so far he's done as much good for him as he possibly can without having a majority in the Senate. Without a majority in the Senate, not much can get done. Now, whose fault is that? Well, that's the fault, or that's the responsibility of voters. If you want Democrats to succeed, you have to give them a majority in the Senate. actually, in my opinion, which I've expressed many times before, I was along with old man Dingwall on this one, the Senate needs to be abolished. It's a useful House of Lords type copycat. And instead of being the rubber stamp like the House of Lords is in the United Kingdom, they got too much of a say-so, and it's mostly a bunch of old, elderly white men. Yes, that's right, old, elderly white men. There's a couple of women in there, a couple of black people in there, you know, and a couple of other types of people in there on both sides of the fence. However, this is the problem is that the Senate is a useless, unneeded body. They're supposed to give that valuable legislative oversight over the House, which, you know, I think if you go back to the Federalist Papers, particularly Federalist number 10, where it was either Madison or Moreau who was writing in there, I think it was Madison who was trying to tell us that the mob, you didn't want the mob to rule. Well, and so probably the House was maybe looked upon as the mob or could be controlled by the mob. Well, hey, let's put it this way. The mob is people at or near the poverty line, below the poverty line, and middle-class people. Not, and I'm going to go in with the leftists. I'm a real leftist. I'm not a goddamn Democrat, and certainly not a fascist Republican. But where I come in here is I don't think it's about race, really. I think it's really about class. I mean, if you look at how many white people are poor versus how many blacks are poor. Now, the percentage favors the blacks there, but let's just put it this way. It's the economically downtrodden who are having the problems in this country. And why are they having the problems? Well, there's several reasons. The main one being jobs and opportunities. Now, this Trump bastard, this orange pus bag, was going to go in there, create these opportunity zones, which they did do, which have done shit. They haven't done anything for anybody. Right, they have not, okay? And so what keeps the Republicans in power? Well, gerrymandering, you know, now Democrats do gerrymandering also, don't get me wrong, not nearly as much as Republicans, and now they're skewing it in favor of the middle, upper middle class and middle class white people who are afraid. Okay, so now you also have the great replacement theory. Okay, which really comes from the Civil War, you know, in my opinion, and I'm not a historian, and I have a good friend who is, and I'll let him straighten me out on this if he wants to. He probably doesn't want to. I think the majority of the problems we have with the split, with the divisiveness that we have now, which has always been there, unless it was a really heavy to the right, middle of the road contingency who were voting, okay, which is not really bipartisan and really isn't representative of the American people. Don't forget when Eugene Debs ran for president, I think it was back in the 30s, it's 20s, he actually got over 1 million votes while he was in prison. Yes, for the Sedition Act. don't fool yourself. If Trump goes to prison, that might happen again, only with a lot more than 1 million votes. The sadness here really is that we're not identifying what the real problem is. The real problem is we need to get the people who need help the most out to vote like we did in 2020. However, we need them on local and state levels, more even as much as national. If we do it on local and state levels, we're going to get more people in, more progressives, of course, and more Democrats in, and they might stick together and vote and change things for the majority of us. Now, a lot of these old white women, and I say old, I'm old, so I can say old, so fuck you. A lot of these old white women, I say, oh, Trump, all right, great, right. Well, they want Big Daddy, see? Most of them want Big Daddy. They want one man to run the deal. And that's his penchant for malignant narcissism that creates a penchant and a desire for authoritarianism. So you've got that whole group of folks that want one guy to fix everything, and that's on an authoritarian type of mentality. Now, of course, this happened with FDR. However, without, and I'm going to quote some of my favorite sources on the left, the real left, not the fucking center of the whole deal, It was the Communist Party, the American Communist Party. Yeah. Oh God, you're going to hate that word because it's communist. Oh my God, you got that red. You know, nowadays there's red states instead of red sympathizers. That's really funny. It's funny how things change, how wording and meanings behind words change over time in the colloquial vernaculars. At any rate, FDR kind of had an authoritarian character. He could not have gotten Social Security for us, with eventually what became Medicare for us, and all the work programs during the Great Depression that actually saved the country. Now, there's a bunch of these fucking anarcho-capitalists and libertarian-type knuckleheads that want to argue and say it was FDR that ruined the country. Eh, no, it wasn't. And you know what? We got socialism in this country to a small extent, 3 or 4%. We have socialism. You have your fire departments. You have your police departments. You have what's left of the public schools. You have state universities and community colleges. You have your municipal works, governments. You know, you have like the water department and the you have a lot of the streets department, although a lot of those types of things, especially with streets and so forth, where I live in Phoenix, Arizona, has been outsourced to contractors. And that, of course, that shoots the cost of everything up because these cocksuckers want to make a profit. Pardon my use of the word cocksucker, because it is an admirable practice. And I don't mean to offend anybody that is, you know, LGBTQ at all. I don't want to offend any folks like that. And I don't mean it offensively towards you. I go ahead and do what you're going to do. Do what you want to do. I don't care. I don't have a judgment on that. Do what you're going to do. You know, the same thing goes with a lot of other types of thinking and practice, you know, and behaviors and so forth. You know, as long as that doesn't compromise my rights or the rights of groups of people, or, you know, I have no problem with what you want to do. You can believe in your fascism and your crazy Christianity if you want to. I mean, you've got these idiots like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who is a huge Trump supporter. I mean, basically, she kind of mouths on a regular basis this maggot agenda. And it's like, no, this is not a Christian nation. The majority of people in this country are not Christians, okay? And by majority, I mean over 50%. They're not Christians, no. And some people say they're a Christian, but they don't go to church. They don't practice a particular sect of Christianity. No, they believe in Christianity and what their view of it is. And, you know, a majority of people believe in God. The atheist contingency is growing. However, here's the thing. Politics and religion and government need to be kept separate. There needs to be that division outlined in the Constitution between politics and religion. One religion does not have to, cannot have a place in government. It can't. Now, you know, you have the book written by Bloom back in the 80s, The Closing of the American Mind. It was written in the late 80s. And, you know, his argument was the laws of our country are based in the Bible and all these type of things. Well, some of them are. But let's not forget that a lot of those items like that, the codifications that came from the Bible, were actually codifications that came from pagan cultures before that. Well, pagan, let's say non-Christian cultures. Pagan means from the country, and a lot of those people were, you know, they were urban. So a lot of those types of things came from the older Western European traditions predating Christianity. So you can't feed me that line. That doesn't work on me. Prove to me they came directly from the Bible, and that the stuff that came from the Bible was came from the Hebrews in the Hebrew Bible. Prove to me that, okay? So here's the problem. These guys want to create a sort of a theocracy. They want a Christian fascist nation. They believe in authoritarianism and fascism, that one man can fix everything and he'll have the support of all these legislators. And now, well, the Supreme Court is a joke. It's a joke. Do we really need it anymore? I'm going to argue we don't. We don't need a Supreme Court, particularly when it becomes partisan. And maybe to avoid partisanship, it needs to be abolished, or its authority and its effect on the rest of our legal system needs to be drastically reduced. They need to have not so much effect on our legal system. So there's a lot of problems. As you can tell by listening to my rhetoric, that I'm in favor of the majority of the people having the complete say-so over what happens in our government. Now, when you've got 10% of the people, basically, their policies running the government through the elected representatives, who do what the people want about 40-some percent of the time, and the rest of the time they do what they want, which is dictated by financial crap. You know, I mean, you see that in my state of Arizona here, where you've got Kyrsten Sinema. Kyrsten Sinema, who was a Green Party member. Okay, you could say it was youthful folly. She would probably say something to allude to that. No, no, Kyrsten, you have become a money-grubbing bitch. That's right. You're a money grubber. And you're just like what you said to the Chamber of Commerce. Oh, my God. Look me up in this. I'm not going to quote it. I don't have time to quote her useless rhetoric. She won't couple at a mansion. He's another one. He's not even a Democrat. He's a Republican. In fact, what needs to be done, we need to vote in a lot more Democratic senators, get close to a 60-seat majority, and just force Manchin to become a Republican, because that's what he is. And then we need Sinema out. She needs to go. She needs to go, because she's not representative of the vast majority of the people of Arizona. Yeah, she's not. She's lost my vote, I'll tell you that. I voted for her all the way up through this, and she's lost my vote. She's greatly disappointed me. She is not, most of the time, is not voting for what the people need, what we really need, what we want out of our government. She has caved in to special interests and campaign donors. And here's the thing. That needs to go away. Citizens United needs to go away. And all donations must only be to a certain small level by individuals. Now, you know what's going to happen with that. There's going to be companies that go, hey, Fred Jones, you're my employee. I'm going to make a donation to X party in your name. And that'll happen. That's going to happen quite a bit if we get rid of it. However, it's going to be a lot better than the Chamber of Commerce members, U.S. Chamber of Commerce members, donating millions of dollars, you know, company by company. If you look at what the GOP got in donations from Big Oil, it tells the whole story, pretty much, pretty much. You know, this is another problem, is the oligopolies. See, the oligopolies are really running the country. Now, Trump got you guys that like him to believe that he was going to help out with that he was going to drain the swamp. Well, he didn't get rid of any of the oligopolies, number one. He didn't get rid of campaign funding by large corporations, number two. Number three, he got rid of some bureaucrats that probably needed to go. But what did he do? He brought in his own group of Christian fascist bureaucrats. Now, here's another thing. Here's a son of a bitch, a bloated orange pus bag who has basically feathered his own bed with campaign funds, one. Two, who doesn't really give a shit about the people, although he's real nice to people in public. He meets them, he's nice, and gives the impression that he's religious and a family man. This son of a bitch is not a Christian. I'm telling you, if he was a Christian, a real Christian, he wouldn't be the way he is. He wouldn't act the way he does. And that's the same with everybody else. Now, I used to be a Christian, and I know that for a fact, okay, that these guys are not Christian, most of them. I mean, look at Romney. Romney's about the closest to it, and he's a Mormon. One of the biggest fantasy land religions there is. That's not to say it isn't a great social welfare organization for its members. Yes, it is. So here's the problem. You've got a whole contingency of people that want to create a theocracy. Now, albeit this is a smaller group of people, you know, maybe 10 million people. However, their thinking and their rhetoric, and they are loudmouths, influences a lot of people. It's like Trump kept telling you the election is rigged. The election system in the country is rigged. The election is going to be stolen by the Democrats. So what happened? Democrats win the election. Joe Biden wins the election. And it's rigged. No, it's not rigged, you son of a bitch. You big fat piece of shit. You lost the election. You lost. And even Kellyanne Conway, the biggest spin doctoress there is, told you that, you idiot. I mean, Barr said that. The toad frog. That's what they call him down south, is toad frog. And that's what he looks like. Look at that bloated. I mean, I'm a fat guy, but look at that guy. He's a bloated toad. So this is the people that you have, you know, that this is the people that people get impressed by. Oh, Trump's a strong leader. No, he isn't. He's a pussy. He's a pussy. I could knock him out with a backhand and I'm crippled. And so could a lot of other people. It's amazing that some of his disgruntled supporters haven't done him in. It amazes me. You know, you'd think they might want to do that. Oh, well. What really needs to happen with Trump is he needs to be gone and forgotten. That's what, he doesn't need to be killed because it makes him into a martyr. And to have a walking junk pile like that made into a martyr is a huge mistake. That's why you don't do those guys in. I mean, I've frequently said about Ronald Reagan that, people won't like this, I frequently said that the worst thing that happened with Reagan is that Hinckley was a bad shot. Of course, there is the negative side of that. Then you would have had George Bush, the old man Bush, for longer in office than he was. But Bush inherited the sins of the father, and so he inherited this big recession that happened during his term, and that's what killed him. That's what wiped him out. Getting back to this whole thing about Reagan, this is why a lot of people, especially us older folks, boomers and Xers, this is why there's a large group of people who think that Ronald Reagan was just so great. He was just so good. You've got even economists to come out and tell you how great Ronald Reagan was and all these great things that he did. Well, he decreased taxes at first and then he increased them again. And who got hit the most? Well, us people in the middle and the lower economic strata. We got hurt the worst. Okay, and the rich people continue to get richer. I mean, 35% as his low ball of federal tax, bullshit. On that group of people, it should be 70 or 80 or maybe even 90% like it was under Eisenhower with no loopholes. That's right. Oh, you mean I made $10 million, but I got to keep one? That's right. You got to keep one. So maybe you need to do like most of us, the vast 99% majority of us have, and adjust your lifestyle to that. Oh, but that's socialism. Well, guess what? That other 99% of people have a much less opportunity to get to your level. It's just like in companies where there's management. Oh, don't like your job? Well, why don't you get really good at your job so you get hired as manager? Well, yeah, so that's going to happen for a small minority of people working for the company and even a minority of people that strive to do that. So don't feed me the capitalist nightmare. Don't feed me the capitalist bullshit. And the big problem in the end, folks, just as you and I both know, is capitalism. That's right. The problem is capitalism. And it's always been the problem, right? Yeah. It's the problem because there's got to be winners and losers in capitalism. We want a system where there's fewer, much fewer losers. Now, I don't mean the state socialism that the Red Scare victims are so afraid of. Now, there's a lot of people that are still victims of the Red Scare. That's right. That indoctrination is deep in their psyche. Oh, communism, communism. Like I was talking to this guy on the phone here a couple weeks ago. It was an interesting call. I usually don't make these kind of calls when, you know, during a business day. So he comes in, he says, do you know who Buckminster Fuller was? I could tell, okay, this guy's got to be 70 years old. Yes, I do. So I worked with Buckminster Fuller on a couple of three. And I thought, oh, great, I got a great guy on the phone. He's an African-American. He's a Bucky Fuller guy. And then he throws out the orange pus bag. And I'm like, look, having done business with the orange pus bags companies, I could tell you that this guy is a liar, he's a cheat, and he's a thief. And he passed that on to his people. His people tried to lie, cheat, and steal with me in a business deal. They didn't win. They didn't win. And I've talked to numerous other people, particularly in New York, who had dealings with that scumbag and some of his companies and how they had to fight him or how they got burned by him. I mean, thousands and thousands of people, employees, contractors, got burned by Trump's companies and Trump. Yeah, because you know Trump has an iron hand over his companies, or did have. He may not so much anymore, but he might have the Bozo kids doing it for him, which probably is mostly Junior and what's that other one? The one who's a real lowbrow, him. And then Ivanka doesn't have much to do with it. Look, her and Kushner, her husband, walked away with over $600 million in profit or income. $600 million while Daddy was in the White House. Yeah. And then Daddy's, then Jared's dad got pardoned by Trump. And look at the cretins that got pardoned. Michael Flynn, who is a traitor, who was convicted of lying to the FBI, got pardoned. What's his name? That other turd ball. Bannon got pardoned. The other one? Roger Stone, who's just, God, should be imprisoned in Antarctica. He got pardoned. You know, just some people got pardoned that should have never gotten pardoned and wouldn't have been pardoned. He even pardoned Gordon Libby. Totally unnecessary. You know, to pardon Dinesh D'Souza, who's got this goddamn documentary out now that's just a bucket load of lies, actually a dump truck load of lies, 2,000 pieces of mule shit, bullshit, right? You have all these cretins who are getting their shit across to the people. And you know what? People want to believe this. That's the problem. They have such an animus. They've been fed such a line of BS. Because, you know, we wouldn't have Social Security without the Democrats. We wouldn't have Medicare without the Democrats. We wouldn't have civil rights voting, even though that's been greatly compromised. We wouldn't have the civil rights bill if it wasn't for Democrats. You know? And yes, here's the big problem. At the time of the Civil War, the Southerners, the Dixiecrats, were Democrats. And thank goodness LBJ did what he did when he pushed for all the civil rights legislation and signed it into being. One of his major thrusts was to get the Dixiecrats out of the Democratic Party. And they migrated. And they went over to the Republicans, who are already a fetid mess of BS. You know, some of them greatly influenced by the John Birch Society. Oh my God. You know, what another shitball group who's had kind of a resurgence in the last 10 years. Boy. You know, some of these people were actually supporters of Nazism. Yeah, look at Prescott Bush, the great-grandfather, the grandfather of George W. Bush, a real loser, right? Talk about, Trump loves to call people losers. George W. Bush is a loser. Yeah, he ruined the economy, got us into two very expensive, unnecessary wars. Take my glasses off. Yeah, George W. Bush, a real loser. Dick Cheney, another loser war criminal. But now these guys actually look good to some people because of Trump. They actually, I just find this hilarious that they actually look good to some people. Wow. Ugh. The other beef that I have with all of this, you know, the media has a great responsibility in this. You know, so what have they been telling us since Biden got elected? Well, you know, the midterms are coming, and you know what happens in the midterms. It always happens that the party in control loses its control and that the Congress gets tipped the other way. Well, you know, instead of saying it could happen, it's happened before, it might happen, oh no, that's probably what's going to happen. And so they implanted this idea in people's minds that this was definitely going to happen. Wow. And they've been slow to point out the sins of the GOP. The GOP is a very sin-packed, pustulent, it's actually more like a carbuncle on the ass of a dinosaur-sized carbuncle on our society. That's what they are. They do not care about the lower economic and middle class people. They don't care about us at all. They don't. They're not. They'll tell us, oh yeah, we're going to lower taxes for you guys too. But they don't create any programs. They want to get rid of Social Security. They want to get rid of Medicare. Did you see that ridiculous agenda that the head of the Senate reelection committee for the Senate, Rick Scott, another scumbag, a thief, a rotten grifter. Yeah. Did you see what he did? Oh, my. Oh, my. He wanted to get to gun down, over time, Medicare and Social Security. Well, they want to turn it into this privatized nightmare that Bush tried to pull. See, there's another big sin of Bush, besides the major sins of the wars and tanking the economy. Of course, the economy is always going to tank under capitalism. This time we've had a much longer run. We've had about a 12-year run, even though it hasn't really been that way. There's a lot of parts of the economy that have been going down and stayed down since 2008. Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, there's some other economists out there other than the ones that are telling you that things have been wonderful throughout this time period. And, you know, and then Trump taking credit for how well the economy did during his worthless stint in office. You know, I almost said rain. Oh, rain what? What? Raining bullshit. Yeah. And he wanted to take credit for what happened during 8 years of Obama. He wanted to take credit for what happened economically under 8 years of Obama and his regime. Yeah, no, Trump. You didn't do shit. All you did was lower taxes on the corporations and the rich, so they could do stock buybacks in the case of the corporations, and so that the rich could avoid paying their fair share of taxes again, continuously, more so. So now we have this wealth, the wealth committee, okay, or the wealth group inside the IRS that could really go after this top 5 and 10%, you know, the people who make over $1 million a year. They can really go after them and tax them the way they need to be taxed to pay their fair share on what the current tax rate is, which I think is bullshit. You know, that needs to be raised up there again. 50% gosh, 70% anyway. And if that was done and these people had to pay flat that tax with little or no deduction, shit would change a little bit. It would change a little bit. And, you know, of course, cut defense spending in half. You know, instead of a one over, and it's, oh, don't let them fool you, $750 billion. No, it's more like one point something trillion. Yeah, and that needs to be cut the fuck out. And what's the grift in that? Defense contractors. I deal with these people all the time. And they are grifting the federal government through the General Services Administration. They actually, you know, because the military and other federal agencies have gotten very lax in purchasing goods and services, they've outsourced it to people who have to pay regular retail pricing, which is gouged. That's where your $100 brooms came from. That's where your nails that cost $20 came from. That's where all that came from. It comes from the outside contractors. And they're not really even contractors. They get to set pricing that's way above what the standard pricing is. So there's a huge grift going on there. I'll bet if you cut 80% of the grift out of it, you're going to save about 30 or 40% on the total budget. Plus the fact that government no longer makes defense items. They no longer make armaments. They don't. They really don't. That's all farmed out. Well, it's always been farmed out to a great extent. That's true. However, it was under price controls, and it should be under price controls and profit controls. These guys shouldn't make over about 5 or 7% profit. Oh, well, we're not going to do it. Well, then good. Let's go ahead and open up some worker co-op defense contractor companies, right, who can exist with break even or just a couple of points of profit. The workers get paid a fair share, more than they do under these other contractors. The industry has become more diversified, you know, with less oligopoly and monopoly going on. Yeah, that can happen. That can happen and should happen. The thing that really should happen is we need to demilitarize as much as possible throughout the world. That includes us. You know, I think a lot of the problem with Russia is that Putin's paranoid. Now, he's still got that Soviet-era type of paranoia about the West coming in. And look what we did after the fall of the Soviet Union. Look what we did. You know, the bank people, the IMF went in there, and other corporations and agencies went in there and fucked things up for Russia really bad and created an environment where you had an oligopoly created. And who's the top oligarch? Putin. Putin's the top oligarch. He could be, according to some sources, the richest man in Russia. Yeah, he could be a trillionaire. You know, he could be. And why did that happen? Because we interfered instead of allowing a real democratic process and fostering a real democratic process to occur, particularly on the level of business and economics. I mean, there's a lot of speculation that could go on there, how socialism could have been turned into a more of a worker co-op situation there, where a lot of those industries could have become worker co-ops, where the workers run the companies and reap the profits, because you don't have real socialism without the workers. You don't have it. Yeah. Yeah, until the workers control the means of production, you don't have socialism. So that's why I always get kind of pissed off, you know, about people talking about socialism. They don't really even know what it says in the Communist Manifesto and the three volumes of Capital. They don't know what it says. Now, I don't know what it says in the three volumes of Capital that well. I know a little bit about the manifesto. I do know this. You won't have real socialism until the workers control the means of production. Now, they don't have to control all the means of production, just the majority of it. Maybe 51%, maybe 50%. Yeah. You can't mandate that, and the state can't be the ones that mandate it. The workers have to be allowed the opportunity to organize, to get funded, to take over these companies and make them workable for the people that work there and consequently their families. Yeah. That's real socialism. That's not this authoritarian nightmare that we've seen throughout the world. That's what we've seen throughout the world, mainly when it comes to the except for, you know, maybe the Scandinavian countries, which are real socialists. They're social democracies, still primarily controlled by capitalist interests. Okay, let's get straight about that. So when people start knocking that, you know, they get a few anecdotes. Like, well, I'm from Denmark, and my taxes were so high, I didn't get to make big profits and become wealthy. No, you didn't, did you? No. And that's the problem. Most people want to be multimillionaires. They would love to be billionaires. Well, the chances of you become a billionaire is about 0.003% or something like that. The chances of becoming a millionaire are 1 out of 11. And anymore, a millionaire is not really wealthy. Unless you're making $1 million a year, and then you're a multimillionaire, probably, if you've kept any of your assets. So this isn't a nightmare. This is not a dream. It's a nightmare that's occurred because people wanted to push the idea of a dream beyond what it should have been. That's right. Beyond what it should have been. Right? Yeah. Yeah. So now I'm really kind of sick and tired of you fuckers that are worried about your money. You know, you guys that got plenty of money that are worried about your money, guess what? You have destroyed the world. The world will end for humanity. Yeah, the human world will come to an end, or at least be so drastically reduced that we'll no longer be the dominant mammalian species. If any mammalian species survive, might just be a couple insects, some crustaceans, bacteria, you know, some things like that. Some species such as that, some animals and plants and bacteria such as that. That's probably what's going to survive. Probably not too many mammals. Probably, unfortunately, not too many birds. And probably not the best insects, like bees, for instance, and the pollinating insects and species like that. That's probably what isn't going to survive, right? Yeah, because you motherfuckers have to go on your vacations and drive your cars. Yeah. Well, it's only 7 now, don't get me wrong. Transportation is only 17% of the carbon footprint overall. Transportation. It's just as much from farm animals, you know, ungulates, you know. They puke out a lot of methane, particularly cows and sheep puke out a lot of methane. And that's a big contributor. Other big contributors are industry, you know, that produces a lot of carbon dioxide. And also, see, here's the unsung is methane. Methane, sulfur dioxide, nitrous oxides. Those types of greenhouse gases, heat-trapping gases that get in the atmosphere. I just read something to the effect that if we cut carbon emission all the way through, no matter how, and even get into recapturing carbon and doing something with it other than having it in the air, still 20% of it that we've added on is going to remain. 20% of it is going to remain if we do that much of a drastic approach. So I know this is a very doom and gloom type of situation for most. Yeah, it is. I feel a lot of doom and gloom on this. I really do. Yeah. I'm kind of sad about all of this. And, you know, probably it's not going to happen in my lifetime. You know, they say 2050. Well, 2050 is basically over 25 years from now. It's about 28 years from now. You know, which would make me about 97, 98. I hope I live that long comfortably, you know, with a good quality of life. I do. It may not happen. I mean, you know, lifespan on average is down to 78. People in my family don't live to be 78. They live to be 90-something. So that very well could happen to me unless I wind up like my dad and all the abuse that I've suffered from the environment around me since I've been a child. Catches up with me, and a lot of that has. I'm just saying that I probably may not be around to see the demise of all of this. And I could say, well, fuck it, I'm going to be dead anyway. No, I don't really think that way. I really want it to be a nice place. So your children and your grandchildren and my grandchildren and my relatives' children can grow up in a safe and friendly world. And this whole thing about nationalism, hey, this Marjorie Taylor Greene knucklehead, her and that Boebert, I call her Bobo, her and those two, they are enemies of the people and the country. They believe in nationalism, especially Greene. She was nationalism, Christian, we need Christian, that's good. No, it's not. It's dominionism, we don't need it, we don't want it. And it's, if you knew anything about the Constitution and the history of the country and how we arrived at separation of church and state, you would know that. Roger Williams, who had the colony that later became Rhode Island, most of Rhode Island, he was the one that had that. He was very strict in his religious views and practice. He allowed freedom of religion for the most part in his colony because he knew it was the right thing to do. Right? Right. So therein lies a huge problem right there. People are crazy. And you know what? This whole Jesus thing, come on, man. Come on, man. I was a Christian. You know why I bailed out on it? Because that Jesus thing, it's not a God. It's not God. No, it's a God in someone's mind. It might be a God in your mind. Not a God in my mind. Judeo-Christian God is not a God in my mind. So when it comes to that, I'm a strict atheist. Other gods, well, they're in the mind as well, you know. It's really cool that people believe in stuff and that they allow the positive parts of it to serve as motivation for them to practice those principles in their lives. I think that's great. But this Christian fascism, no, it's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong. And most of us don't want it, even though we're not fighting it. We need to fight it. We need to fight it tooth and nail if we have to. We need to fight it at the ballot box. We need to fight it at the local level. I mean, here in Arizona, we got some extreme whack jobs. I mean, this Wendy Rogers, state senator, she's crazy as hell. And then the girl that fights her all the time, who has some common sense, Kelly Townsend, she's crazy as hell. You know, and we've got Doofy. He's our governor, Doofy. He's not as bad as the orange puss bag, but he's bad. He's bad. He's bad. He's very bad. You know, and then you've got, oh my goodness, you got the Arizona GOP. Should be called the Arizona Christian Fascist Party. Really bad. The woman who, the chairman of that party, whoa, boy. She's really crazy. And she's a stop the steal person, probably QAnon. There's a few of them. And now you got the old TV commentator. Here's the last part of my rant today. Carrie Lake, running for governor, has no business running for public office. Oh, run for your school board, Carrie. Why don't you get started there, get your feet wet? find out how you can screw that up. Huh? Why don't you do that, Kerry? Go ahead. Do that. Yeah. Yeah, why don't you go ahead and do that? Yeah. You don't belong as governor. God, she's probably going to get a lot of votes. I hope she doesn't get elected. Katie Hobbs, come on, girl. You got to beat her, man. Katie Hobbs is pretty, she's okay. She's Democrat, but she's okay. You're way better than Kerry Lake. Kerry Lake has no business in the race. And then you've got that son of a bitch of an attorney general. Oh, boy. He's not a MAGA, really. But in a lot of other ways, he's worse because he's a lot more intelligent and legal savvy. He doesn't need to be anywhere close to any public office in Arizona. He certainly doesn't belong in our Senate. That's why, and unfortunately, we have to do a lot of voting for candidates that we really wouldn't support had we a better choice. But I'm sorry, Mark Kelly is a much better choice. Sorry. You don't like Democrats or whatever. Mark Kelly, he's a good man in his own way. He's not the kind of Democrat that I would want. He's a heck of a lot better than that son of a bitch, let me tell you. His name rhymes with it, too. Yeah, I want to call him that all the time on Twitter. It's just, that's the whole thing. I do say a lot of ad hominems. That's true. These people let them piss me off. That's true. However, we are threatened by them in a much more real way than a lot of these people who back them feel threatened by anybody that's not white and Christian. That's right. See, that's a big problem with this Great Replacement, which Camus, who I actually like a lot of his stuff, pointed out a long time ago, that brown people were going to replace white Europeans in Europe. Well, it's going to happen. I mean, if the human race survives, it's going to be brown, pretty much. Brown and yellow, I guess you could say. I don't like using those terms. But that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a very huge admixture of ethnicities throughout the world. It's inevitable. And because these people don't think the way you do, pray the way you do things the way you do, it doesn't make them lesser at all. It doesn't make them, maybe some of the things that they do, which enhance them, gives them an advantage. Like, I mean, look at how Asian people band together in families. Look at what they're able to do. They're the highest paid people. Yeah, Asian people are the highest paid people. That's right. And then you've got, below that, you've got white people. And then you've got African Americans and Hispanics. And down at the bottom, you've got Native Americans. Boy, it sure shouldn't be that way. Shouldn't everybody be kind of homogenous in that respect? Don't you think maybe they ought to be that way? I mean, yeah, we all know people from, that are, exceptions to this. We know Asian people that are poor. We know African-American people that are rich. We know, Latin American people who are rich, We do. We know very few Native Americans, which are. That just goes to show you the problem with the entire situation. The amount of wealth, regardless of race, is lopsided. That's right. There's wealth inequality. That's right. That's right. And that's the problem. And it's capitalism. Capitalism is the problem. Capitalism needs to stop. It needs to go away. Much more regulated than it is now. And there was another thing people like, oh, Trump got rid of the regulations. Yeah, so people could shoot a fine mist of pig shit in the air in the Carolinas from the pig farms. Right, so they could dump shit out of their ponds into the rivers so that coal dust and coal ash could be dumped into the rivers again or still. Yeah, oh, yeah, that's what get... And thank goodness coal hasn't made a comeback because that's... Not good stuff. Coal's not good stuff. Look what it did to the air in London back in the old days, back in 17th, 18th century, 18th, 19th century. Look what it did to the air. I think that's where the term smog came from. Yeah, yeah. Look at what coal dust does to the lungs of miners, black lung. Coal's not a good thing. Since when do profits become before people? And even some of the workers... just flipped out because they weren't going to be able to mine coal anymore. Well, isn't it the responsibility of the coal company to go in there and create industries that they can hire those people that could live at a similar level of comfort? Isn't that their responsibility? After all, they raped the fucking land to get the profits. They had, oh, and you don't have profits now? Well, I'm really sorry that the bottom fell out of your market. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Well, that's a big problem. That's a big problem. We got a big problem here in this country. We can actually fix the majority of these problems before we go extinct. You know, we can get things turned around pretty well. Maybe prolong our existence on the planet for several decades. Maybe. You know, if we get to work. We have to get rid of the Republicans. We have to get rid of the centrist Democrats, the corporate Democrats. We have to get rid of them. We have to get rid of all those people. We have to get rid of the profit before people mentality. Because, believe me, it exists. It's everywhere. Now, here's the thing about going in business. If you don't have enough capital to go in business, don't go in business. If you're going to do it on a shoestring, maybe you can do it all yourself. Well, okay, you know, that's not going to hurt anybody but you, maybe. And that's your responsibility. That's the thing about going in business. But if you're going to start a business and you don't have enough money to pay your workers well, you know, then you don't need to go in business. Oh, no, they're supposed to. Oh, no, we can't do that to business. Well, you don't have to go in business if that's the case. See, this is the problem with the oligarchies, you know, controlling all these different industries, four or five companies control, like the baby formula thing. That's all controlled by just a few companies. And that's why there's a problem. Yeah. Pandemic really kicked the shit out of this whole profit before people thing, didn't it? And yet, the billionaires who were at 700 and some odd billion before the pandemic are now at like over 1.5 trillion. What's wrong with that? Now, we did almost eliminate the poverty level during the pandemic with the stimulus and so forth. We did pull children out of poverty, and that's gone now because Republicans, oh, they can't do anything that would spend money. Anything that would spend money to help people. Oh, no, we can't do that. That's not a priority. Profit is the priority. I'll tell you what. We're coming for you motherfuckers at the ballot box. We're coming for you. We're going to throw you a beating. We're going to throw you a beating like you never had before because we're going to get on the street and we're going to talk to people. And we're going to say, oh, hey, I don't like Democrats either. But what choice have you got? Somebody who's going to make it worse for you than they did? Somebody who's going to try to take away your Social Security and your Medicare? Going to try to privatize everything? Somebody's going to continue to help the destruction of the public schools? Boy, that's a really bad one. And in favor of charter schools, which have the poorest level of education record, poorer than public schools overall. Yeah. Is that what we're going to do? Now, don't get me wrong. I sent my kid to a charter school. It was a very good charter school. It was a very high academic standards, or I wouldn't have sent him. And we did that because he wanted to go to school there, and he knew people, and he wanted to play club rugby, and, you know, and he just didn't want to go to public high school. And I let him do it, and it was good. He turned it around well. But that was one of the few charter schools that's worth the shit. That's why we need public education. And that's what the Republicans are trying day by day to get rid of, to get people homeschooled into this religious nut education. You know, a lot of that homeschooling is religious nut stuff. Yeah, yeah. Using the Bible as a basis for history. Oh, God, the Bible as a basis for history. The Bible is a basis for legal codification. Oh, man. Oh, man. We just want to go and teach people Aesop's fables as history and as moral education. And the same with the Greek and Norse and Roman myths. Yeah, maybe we should do that. Or maybe let's bring in the Asian ones. Yeah, let's do that. Let's, you know, no. We need public education for the majority of people. We need it. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Yeah, and that brings me to the final topic, which is America's love affair with the automobile. It's crazy. I live in a city where if you want to work and you want to have a good job, you either find lodging very close to where you're going to work, or you have a car and you drive to work. Well, the majority of people are driving to work, right? Yeah. And what does that do? Well, I'm going to tell you something. I never saw the air so clean as during the pandemic when people were working from home and weren't driving into work. Boy, that was refreshing. That was so nice. I haven't really driven to work in almost 3 years now, and I'm happy as a clam. Yeah, I'm making good money. I'm working from home. I'm doing it with the same regimen that I did when I went into the office where I work. It's worked out well, and it has for a lot of other people. Okay, so unless you can live really close to where you work, you're going to have to drive in most cases, or you're going to have to, you know, be on the bus line. That makes it good for you. You know, let's face it, getting cars is tough. If you don't have one, it's tough right now. Yeah. And new cars are very expensive. I don't know what the average cost of a new car is. I could look it up and tell you, but you can look that up. It's a lot more than it was. Look at what happened with home prices. They're going to go down. You know, this always happens, I think, but they're not going to go down a lot. Okay. For example, my house has shot up 4 times what I paid for it. 4 times. Well, that's great. I mean, I could sell it, get all the equity out of it, and go somewhere else. Where am I going to go that's affordable, that gives me what I have built up in the home that I have now? Nowhere. Nowhere. People are crazy over their automobiles, too. They're just crazy over that shit. Oh, look at my new car. Oh, look. Oh, I have 6 vehicles. Isn't that great? You know, I have talked to a lot of people from over 40 who have had multiple vehicles who have now sold them off. Yeah. You don't need them. They sell them off, put the money into the existing vehicles and make them more roadworthy. And the people are bitching about the price of gas. Like the price of gas is supposed to be $1 a gallon. Well, that's what everybody thinks. I mean, I'd like it. You know, in Europe, they've been paying more money than we do now for gas for years. For years. I can't think of a time when they didn't. Oh, but that's Europe, you know. People knock the way people live in Europe. You know, I even talked to business. Oh, I went to Europe. I hate it over there. It's not like it. We have it here. No, and in some countries, it's better. It's actually better. Yeah. Oh, but the taxes. Well, that's because people pay their fair share of taxes for the most part. I mean, look what happens in Canada. They pay more tax, but their medical care is taken care of. Yeah, there's a lot of things that are subsidized and taken care of because of higher taxes. Yeah. Yeah, of course, there's only 35, 40 million people in Canada. Okay, that all makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah. That all makes sense. And they can do more, you know, with less effort than we do because there are less people. I mean, now they're going to ban handguns. Okay, so here's the gun rap. Okay. So more people died from firearms. Last year than automobiles. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Well, my previous topic on the love affair with the automobile, well, that's the reason so many people die. People got to drive, and they don't care how fucked up they get, and there's no regulation on making sure that they have the real reflexes to be able to drive and make good decisions while they drive. No, they're not. Nah. I mean, yeah, you got a driver's test. Ours has like 30 questions on it. And if you miss more than 5, you don't get your license. Well, shit. Or maybe it's 6. I mean, you go out there on the road and you see how many people drive errantly quite a bit. And we don't have traffic enforcement now because we don't have the cops to do it. Yeah. One good thing about high gas prices keeps more people off the road. Yeah. Makes it safer. Okay. Yeah. Makes it safer for everybody. And so, guns. Okay, I got a lot of firearms. I've had firearms my whole life. Grew up with firearms. Grew up hunting and doing those types of things with firearms. And going out in the desert and shooting up old cars and cans and bottles and all kinds of, you know, trash that was out in the desert. And then going to the range, the gun range, and shooting targets and things like that. Okay, that's fun. It's okay to do. Yeah, and people think they have the right to bear arms for their own personal use. And Alito that scumbag son of a, what was Scalia and Alito, those scumbag bastards, they ruined it for us. They ruined it. Why did they ruin it? Because they made firearms much more accessible to people and let people think that they have a right, a personal right to bear arms. Well, one guy just pointed out, you're not your own militia. I don't care what kind of armaments you have. You don't have your own. You don't have your own militia. And really, that whole thing was a lot about militias to go and capture and execute at times runaway slaves. Yeah, it was a product of slavery. Well, let's look at it. All the first presidents were slave owners. Yeah, the country was inundated in slavery. This country economically was built on the backs of slaves. Yeah, and you guys want to start it with this critical race theory? Bullshit, which is bullshit because nobody teaches it. It's more or less a post-grad level set of topics and subject matter that is not being taught in grade schools, not being taught in high schools for the most part. Yeah, and so, but what's wrong with credit? Well, guess what? If we hadn't helped the genocide of Native Americans, you know, there's some data that says that there might have been 80 or 100 million Native Americans before we came here. And then by the time we got here, because of disease and so forth, there was a greatly reduced number. Until finally, now there's, what, 3 million, something like that? 3 or 4 million out of 100 million? That's a 97% reduction if those numbers are somewhat correct. What's that? That's genocide. We genocided them. And then we brought, how many African Americans did we bring? Millions. And how many of them died before they got here? And how many of them died while being enslaved? And then how many of them were not treated like real human beings? They were treated like partial human beings. Yeah. Like automaton robots for the benefit of their masters. And yeah, the agriculture of the South was built on the backs of slaves. It was. And then when Reconstruction got killed, we know what happened there. I think that the big problem that was undertaken was that we allowed people like Jefferson Davis to live. He should have been either exiled or executed or imprisoned. We Grant's policies, and Grant actually attempted to do well. But by the time, what was it, Hayes that got in, somebody like that, that was all gone. That all got put down. And then a lot of your old Confederates got in government. Look what happened to African Americans. Look what happened in 1921 in Tulsa. And then Jim Crow, look what's happened. Look at all the lynchings that happened. You know, look at Woodrow Wilson having a fucking showing of the birth of a nation in the fucking White House. Dirty son of a bitch, racist. Yes, he was a Democrat, and he was a racist piece of shit, and he was a fucking Dixiecrat Democrat who should have never fucking been in office just because of that. Of course, the other guys that were around then were worse. They were all bad. You know, when you have all bad, you get bad, right? Mostly. Yeah, oh yeah, you get a few good things. Was World War I really good? Was it? Reshaped Europe. And it, you know, did it affect the creation of Nazism? Maybe. You know, I don't think there's any direct correlations there, although without World War I, there may not have been Nazism. Certainly did help facilitate the fall of the Russian Empire. Yeah, and the institution of the Soviet Empire. Yeah, another empire, really. Yeah, you know, when it came to that kind of stuff, I was a Trotsky fan, not necessarily a Lenin fan, definitely not a Stalin fan, you know, or anybody after that, up till Gorby. I think Gorby's cool. He's a cool guy. Did good shit. But they didn't have, between Yeltsin and Gorbachev, and who was the other guy? There was another one in there. They just didn't have enough wherewithal to pull off Russia, to make it into a really better place, okay? And don't get me wrong, and this is something that people don't know. Putin has greatly increased the standard of living for the average Russian. He has. He has done that through his policies and so forth. Though not enough. Not what it could be. Not at all what it could be. Yeah, that's the problem. Then we wanted to, you know, going into Georgia and fucking around where was in Chechnya, and now in Ukraine, and where else? Hopefully, you know, the bastard has cancer, and hopefully the guy behind him, the guys behind him, won't get in when he dies, and hopefully he'll die within the next couple of years. They'll probably keep him. He might be a head inside of an aquarium with electronics coming out of his brain running the country. He might wind up being science fiction. At any rate, you know, this is kind of the state of things now. You know, we've got a lot of problems. People think that, you know, hedonism rules the day in the United States. For people that have the means and people that want the means, hedonism rules the day, and it's destroying the country. It has destroyed the progress of the country. Yeah. You know, I remember I got into kind of a debate, which I didn't handle too well, with a guy who was a big Jordan Peterson fan. There's another, boy, don't even want to go into him. And a big fan of capitalism and democracy, what they call democracy. We don't have a democracy. We never did. Get that out of your fucking mind. We don't have a democracy. We have a chance to create one, though. At any rate, this guy was trying to say, well, what were the things that, you know, that the communists have done versus what capitalism done? I said, well, point out, we created this. Yeah, well, you know, the Soviets were the first ones into space, right? There's a bunch of other things that came out of the communism. Look what, I'm not extolling the virtues of it. Don't get me wrong. Authoritarian communism sucks, just like authoritarian fascism sucks, just like anarcho-capitalism sucks, just like unregulated capitalism sucks. They all suck. They're all bad. God. Yeah. Yeah. What's caused all of that? Yeah. Yeah. What's caused all of that? Well, you know, here's another thing. Look what China has done. Virtually eliminated poverty amongst a billion people. Eliminated poverty. Yeah, they, you know, they don't make the money that we do, that our workers do. Yeah, they don't. I don't think their productivity is as great as ours. Yeah, it isn't. Okay. However, they went from being totally dirt poor to people having a standard of living now. Yeah, great progress. Look at their GDP was incredible. It's incredible. Not so much anymore because of COVID. It's incredible. And then we, of course, you know, this whole thing with the outsourcing and all the imported goods, we caused that. I mean, even the orange puss bag imports all of his hats and shirts and all the memorabilia and all that stuff. None of it's American made. It's all made over, it's all made in China. And he's the big anti-China guy, right? The tariffs were a joke. And who ran the trade war? The scumbag Navarro, who, it was great that he was arrested and put in handcuffs and shackles. Yeah, they should have kept him in jail, even though it's only a misdemeanor. You know, he might get convicted and get a fine or something. Hopefully it breaks him. Don't buy his book. It's a bunch of bullshit. Green Bay Sweep. Trying to make a coup. Trying to make a coup socially and politically acceptable. Oh. I mean, one last thing. Think Donald Trump is so great? Look who he thinks was a great president. Andrew Jackson. Read up the history on both sides of the fence on Andrew Jackson. You won't think so, will you?